the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. If you are looking to make a difference to your work life as well as your personal life, this program is for you. We'll have stories, identify tools and techniques to help you in your everyday success, and answer your questions and hear your ideas. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Stewart.
Thank you, Voice America listeners, for tuning in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. As you know, I am your host, Kimberly Stewart, and I'm looking forward to today's guest, Terry Jones. But before I introduce Terry, I wanted to take a moment and make a few announcements. One is that I am starting to really leverage Facebook, and I ask you, invite you, encourage you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and connect with me on LinkedIn. All these social media outlets, I am working to really try to engage the listener and hear from you in order to not only give you previews of the upcoming guests, but also get feedback on the guests and give you an opportunity before I have the guests on to ask questions or say or tell me the questions that you would like me to ask so that I can incorporate that into my interviews and my discussions with my guests. So really easy to do. All you have to do is go to my host page on Voice America Business Channel, and I have all those connections and links there. Or you can go to my company website, www.steppingstone-llc.com, and I also have all the connections there. So please check it out, engage. I look forward to hearing from you. The other item I wanted to just touch base with before I got started with my conversation with Terry Jones is some people have asked, okay, I know you, Kim, as the consultant, mentor, coach of program managers during your day job. That is what my company does. I help program managers be successful with their job of implementing a software package, implementing a timekeeping software package, or consolidating databases into data centers, or it can be a number of items. He said, but your show is talking with a variety of people from a broad range of backgrounds with a broad range of skills that don't necessarily have anything to do with what you do during the day. How are they connected? And they are. And I wanted to share that with all the listeners that I have out there. And I know I have lots and lots, thousands and thousands of listeners out there internationally, that what I get from my radio show, or sometimes what I like to call it is my night job, because on the East Coast it is 6 p.m. when I'm doing it, is that I get a different perspective from what I'm working with during the day. I get the successful journeys that my guests have had, and I pick up tools and tips and techniques that I then, you know, think about and look at, and oftentimes I'm able to apply to my clients either immediately or later down the road. So I see my night job as taking in, and hopefully you as listeners are also doing this, taking in the journeys that my guests have had, no matter what their background is, no matter what their journey is, and the challenges that they have had, and then hopefully applying it to your own life and potentially to your customers' or clients' lives, depending on how that is. And I've done that on a number of times. So because I'd been asked by a few people who know both sides of me, both my daytime side and my evening side, my consulting job side and my radio show side, I wanted to share it with everyone of, you know, what I am doing during the day and then how I take my radio show and how do I apply it and connect the two. So that's how it is. So if you have questions about that, as I said, check out my social media, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, my Twitter, and do direct messages, post me questions, and I'm happy to further the discussion on how I connect the two. But without further ado, I would like to introduce my guest for tonight. It is Terry Jones. He was born in Kansas City, Missouri, earned advanced degrees in theater design at University of Kansas and University of Georgia. And since 1996, he served as president and CEO of Wolf Track Foundation for the Performing Arts, the operations partner for America's only national park for the performing arts. During his time at Wolf Track, he has created the Face of America series, which celebrates the beauty and cultural diversity of our national parks through the commission of new performances and high-definition video. In all, Terry has commissioned more than 70 new works of art during his tenure at Wolf Track. He launched Wolf Track's environmental sustainability initiative, Go Green with Wolf Track, to make other organization carbon neutral. Terry is the frequent speaker on arts education, environmental issues, and splits his time between Northern Virginia and Santa Fe, New Mexico. Terry, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Kim. Great to be with you.
All right. So I'm going to just go right off the bat and ask you, how do you define success?
Well, that I suppose is a different answer for just about everybody. But I personally believe success is very much an internal thing. I think it should be determined by you, by the individual, and not by external factors. I mean, things like money and house and cars and other people's opinions, you know, those are always some people might determine or define success. But I really think it comes from within. And I think when you do what you love, what you're passionate about, and when you do it well, and when you give it your all, then you're a success. And you will know it. You will know when you're a success, when you do those things. Then when you do receive those external recognition items, those things that come up and you're recognized for your success, that's just gravy. I mean, that's wonderful when somebody else looks at it and says, wow, you're successful. But basically, real success comes from within.
Yes, I agree with you. And it's, you know, the friends and the families that are supporting you will give you that, you know, that encouragement. And that's always been how I have found it, you know, most meaningful is when I have had that family and friends and my inner circle, per se, who have recognized, hey, that was a good job. So,
yeah, exactly.
And, you know, when you do get the publicity of or any other awards and stuff, it is gravy and it's going, you know, it's a congratulations, but it's more, but it's important that you find it within.
Yep.
Tell us about one or maybe two defining experiences that made you who you are today.
Well, I think for me, it really began with a very positive educational experience, particularly beginning, you know, high school, early high school, when I went to the University of Kansas. I basically had individual teachers who cared, and I knew they cared, and so having those kinds of experiences, that's what helped define me. And then I think, you know, they carried that through my career, and perhaps the ultimate defining experience was when I accepted the position at Wolf Track. And not that I hadn't been successful before I got there. Obviously, I had, or they probably wouldn't have invited me to come. But when I got there, I think the varied programs of Wolf Track, the things we did, and, you know, as you know, Wolf Track is far more than just performances on a stage. It is about education. It is about the environment. There's so many things that Wolf Track is involved in. So I think those kinds of things and the proximity to the nation's capital, the proximity to being a part of the D.C. metro area. All of that offered me a richer, more comprehensive experience in the last third of my administrative career in the arts, and I think that helped define what I ended up being.
Yep, absolutely. Do you remember that moment, though, in which you knew that your career would be in the arts?
Well, you know, Kim, I was probably very young when that moment. I don't know that I can say I can remember the exact moment. I think I always knew. I was always active in theater and the arts, even as a child. But I guess there is one moment I can give you as kind of a moment, an aha moment, if you will. And I was in my freshman year at the University of Kansas. I started as a political science major, and that's because I actually wanted to be a commercial art or a commercial design major. My dad was a Marine, and he didn't really think that was a way to make a living. He was afraid I would starve to death if I did that. And so, since he was supporting my education, my higher education at that point, I deferred to him and chose political science as a major. I enjoyed political science. It was always interesting to me. So I did that, but as fate would have it, my roommate was a theater major. And of course, I had done theater all through high school, was very active in theater in high school. But Nick Eliopoulos was his name. Nick went on to become a film producer in Los Angeles. But he was playing the role of the Artful Dodger in a production of Oliver at the University of Kansas. And I was there late studying French or something in the room, and he said, "Hey, when you're done with that, why don't you come over and watch some of the rehearsal?" So I did that. This was probably late in the first semester of my freshman year. And as I sat there and watched Nick do this performance, I just, it was an aha moment. I'm going, this is where I should be. This is what I should be doing. So I actually went home at Thanksgiving and talked to my dad and my mom and said, you know, I'm not going to be a political science major. I'm not going to be a commercial art major. I'm going to be a theater major. So, you know, I think after they got over the shock, I think they realized that was where I belonged, that the arts were in my blood, and that was my passion, and so they really didn't fight it, and it goes on from there.
And obviously they did let you go on to do that because of the rest of your very successful career that you have had. So, but I can't imagine
My father was very happy that I didn't starve when I majored in the arts.
I think that every parent is just do what you can do, or maybe they're a little bit more firm, but just don't starve. Just be able to self-sustain. So
well, I have to say, they did insist that as an undergraduate, I also get an education degree so that if all else fails, I could do
I had
an undergraduate degree in education and English speech and theater. So I had some fallback positions.
Very good. And as a program manager, I'm always looking for plan A, B, and C. So you fall right in line with that methodology and that approach that I always take to everything I do in my career. So, well, wonderful, Terry. Thank you for sharing that. It's time for a break. So stay tuned, and we will talk to you after this break. You are listening to Terry Jones, and he is telling us about his journey in the arts and journey at Wolf Trap and beyond. Stay tuned.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. We are talking to Terry Jones, who is President Emeritus of Wolf Trap Foundation. He retired at being Wolf Trap Foundation CEO and president at the end of 2012. And as Terry, as we've started talking about how you got into the arts and the aha moment of the arts was for you, let's fast forward. You did retire at the end of 2012. What have you been doing over the last year since you left Wolf Trap?
Well, I've certainly stayed busy. And first of all, you know, for the longest time, I wouldn't call it retirement because I really see it as the next chapter of life. And I think it's a good way to look at it. Although when I would say that, people didn't quite get it. So I finally just gave up and said, yeah, I retired.
Yeah, right.
But I'm staying busy. So, well, one of the things I think you know, I continue to consult for Wolf Trap, and I'm doing that through 2014. Primarily, that's on the upcoming Face of America program that we're developing. And beyond that, I'm organizing my photography studio. That's where I'm sitting right now, actually. And enjoying that, and it's taken a lot longer to do that than I thought it would. I thought, wow, with all the time I have, I'll have this thing organized in no time. But it's still a work in progress, but it is coming along. I've been doing a fair amount of traveling with my wife. We've been out and about, including off to India for a bit with a wedding of a friend over there. And then, in general, just living life at a more moderate pace. Obviously, Wolf Trap was a pretty intense pace for the 17 years that I was there. And so being able to make choices that allow me to have a more moderate pace, not a sedentary pace, but just a more moderate pace, has been good.
Yes. And so what has been the hardest part of adjusting to post-Wolf Trap?
I think the hardest part was not being around people. As you know, I mean, there were thousands of people there every night at Wolf Trap. I had a generous staff whom I was around every day and talked. Board members, obviously you were one of those that I had occasions to be with on a regular basis. And in retirement, I actually do my studio is not in the house. I actually go out, but it is across the street. So I walk across the street, but I get into the studio and there is no one there. The first few months especially, it was like, well, who could I call? Who could I talk to? So I think that was probably the hardest. And I did have a dog that would come over with me every day. Unfortunately, we lost him just a few months ago. So I don't even have the dog with me at the studio now.
Yeah, and I can imagine that is quite an adjustment, but you still had a little bit of commute, although not as big of a commute that you did have when you were at Wolf Trap. And
exactly.
I think the weather probably is much better out there than it is here, at least right now while we're getting this wintry mix.
Okay. Well, we certainly get more sun. I think we get 326 days of sunshine here in Santa Fe, so I'm not complaining about that.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a transition, and I like the looking at it as the next chapter in your life. But in some perspectives, people think of it as a retirement. So not to keep on bringing that up. But do you have, since you've been through that transition and going from that hectic, busy, fully interacting life that Wolf Trap brought you to a little bit more slower pace, although not sedentary, as you said, life. Do you have any advice for people who are at that stage and how they can make those transitions and make the most of it?
Yeah, I think for me, I think if someone is retiring, I think the important thing is to have a plan for what you want to do and then execute that plan. And it doesn't mean that you're so planned that, you know, everything is done, but I have known people who've had plans and who haven't had any plans, and they basically stopped working one day and then they were lost, totally lost. And so I think having something in mind, for me it was photography. I wanted to do the photography. I wanted to do some consulting. I wanted to serve on some boards. And so I had that in mind. I think the other thing that's important is to be flexible, because opportunities will pop up. There'll be things that'll come up that you might not have thought of when you were planning your retirement, and you should leave yourself open. You should have open to the options that something else may happen, and you ought to take that along as well. So those are the things I would urge. But just having in mind something to do. I've had people say to me, they said, "Wow, you've adjusted so well." Because to be quite honest, the nature of my job and the intensity with which I undertook it, there were a lot of people said, "We don't think you're going to do very well in retirement, Terry. We don't think you're going to make it." I think the plan I set forth has really helped me, you know, move through this first year and be excited about what I'm doing and what's in the future for us.
Well, that's fantastic. You just alluded to one of your favorite things is photography, and I can speak firsthand, having seen your photography, that you are a fantastic photographer and have actually published your photography in Road Trip, A Photographer's Journey to America's National Parks. Can you tell us a little bit about your photography and creating the book that you published?
Sure. That was, it was in a sense just a stroke of good fortune, I think. The Wolf Trap Board, I'd been at Wolf Trap for, oh goodness, I don't know, probably 12, 13 years, something at the time, and they had offered to give me a sabbatical, some time away from Wolf Trap. So they were going to give me 3 months off. This was in, I think, 2008. And so after the summer season, I took 3 months and had planned a solo journey across the United States, starting in Maine and driving by myself all the way to California and then back to Virginia. And so I did that. I mean, the actual journey took a little over 3 months. I drove solo 19,000 miles. I visited 88 of America's national parks in 35 different states. And that solo journey really was a life-changing experience. And it would have been with or without the book. The book was the twist of good fate or leaving the door open for opportunities. I have a good friend, Bill Baker, who at the time was the president and CEO of WNET, which is the New York PBS station, the flagship PBS station in New York City. And he and I were having lunch in New York, and I was telling him about the journey that I was about to take, and he knew I was a photographer, and I said, "I'll be taking lots of photographs along the way." And he said, "Well, you ought to put this in a book." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know who would I go to." And he said, "Well, I'll introduce you to my publisher." So his publisher happened to be David Finn, who's a very extraordinary photographer in his own right. And he, he liked my work. He liked my portfolio. And as a result, I got the book deal and then undertook the journey knowing that I would publish the book, which actually allowed for some changes in the journey. But that's really how the book came about.
Yeah, well, as I said, I can say firsthand, it's a beautiful book. I love the book. And can you tell listeners, if they are interested in looking at the book or getting the book, you have a website that they can order the book from?
Or yeah, you can actually order it from my website. The Collected Works bookstore here in Santa Fe, I think, connects you through my website. You can connect to Collected Works Bookstore in Santa Fe, or you can look them up directly online. It's also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. They both have the book as well.
Great. And it's A Road Trip, A Photographer's Journey to America's National Parks, and it's by Terry Jones.
Is there
any other books in the making or planning?
Well, there is some interest in another book, both on my part and on some publishers' parts. The next one I'm actually hoping to co-author with my wife, Polly, who's a very talented writer. And we're thinking about combining some travel photography with sacred spaces, places of faith or spirit. It could be an ancient church or a synagogue. Our next trip is to the United Kingdom, and so I plan to see Stonehenge, so that sort of thing could be in it. It could be a Native American medicine wheel or just a spiritual spot in the forest. So lots of options there for the book, but nothing definite. I certainly don't have a release date on that, but that's what we're hoping to do, something in that vein coming up next.
Well, sounds very interesting. Another project that I know you started while you were president and CEO of Wolf Trap was the Face of America commissioned work. Can you tell us a little bit about that project, how it started, how it got its name, which is a story I love to hear, and what is to come in the series? What are you working on now?
Sure, happy to. Well, Face of America was created as sort of a gift from Wolf Trap to the nation. This was at the time of the millennium, as you recall, when we were going into the year 2000, everybody was doing special projects, special works of art, whatever. I came to Wolf Trap, you said, in 1996, and I had come from the University of Illinois, their arts program, and they were already working on projects. And so I sort of asked the staff at Wolf Trap, you guys working on anything? And they basically said, we're working on next year is what we're working on. So I said, well, let's start planning. Let's start thinking about what we might do to celebrate the millennium. And so we tossed around some ideas, but this idea came up of connecting Wolf Trap, which, as you mentioned earlier, is America's only national park for the performing arts, connecting the parks and art. We just felt there was a connection there that could be made, basically telling the story of individual parks in a unique way through performance. So we created site-specific work in dance, music, sometimes storytelling, to convey the special stories of these parks. I think the way we stated in the official description of Face of America is that we use the rich language of the performing arts to celebrate the diverse people, histories, and landscape that exist throughout our country and our national parks. So, you know, that's what it was about. That's how it got started and what we're doing. The name is an interesting story. The name came from Bob Stanton, who was then the director of the National Park Service. I had gone down to his office to tell him what we had in mind and hopefully get his support and his backing for the project, and he was very excited about it. And then as our meeting was winding up, he said, you know, Terry, that's exactly what the national parks should do. They should reflect the face of America, which is what I was talking about, in diversity and so forth. And I said, you know, that's a great name, Bob. Would you mind if I use that for the series? And he said, no, not at all. I'd be honored. So that's how Face of America, the name, actually came about, and it's quite fun. Bob was very proud of that, as the years went by, because, of course, when we started, nobody had any idea whether it had legs, whether it would continue or not, but obviously has continued and been very popular. As far as what's up next, Face of America Pacific Northwest, don't know that we're going to use that exact title as we advertise it, but we're featuring four of the beautiful parks of the Pacific Northwest. We will be filming in Olympic National Park, just north and west of Seattle. And we've already commissioned the Pacific Northwest Ballet to create the site-specific work for that performance, which will premiere at Wolf Trap on August 27th of this year.
Well, wonderful. And I know I'm going to be at that performance. I'm very much looking forward to that performance. Now, is there another work after this one in the making or in the planning stage, or is this it?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not the CEO any longer, so I can't. Right. I can't tell you exactly what'll be planned. I know there was discussion as we began the project that the hundredth anniversary of the National Park Service happens in 2016. So there was some discussion that we might sort of do a retrospective of all of the past Face of Americas that we've done, but I don't know whether that'll still happen or not. Obviously, we will have to talk to the new CEO at Wolf Trap and see if he still has interest in that.
Yes, absolutely. So everyone needs to stay tuned, including Terry and myself, and see what Arvind Manocha, who's the new CEO, says and plans. And I'm looking forward to at least this Face of America, and if there's future ones, I think that they'll be just as fabulous. So it is time for another break. So you are listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success, and I am talking to Terry Jones, and we are learning about his journey to success. So stay tuned, and we will see you after this commercial break.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Bob Pritchard has over 30 years of experience as a straight-talking business consultant and author working with some of the top Fortune 500 companies. Now he's come to the Voice America Business Channel to help you and your business. Tune in to the Bob Pritchard Radio Show for information about starting and successfully running a profitable business. From the movers and shakers to great marketing screw-ups, you can't afford to miss a single edition of the Bob Pritchard Radio Show. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business.
We spend 70% of our week in the office. What is the difference between enjoying your job and enduring it? The number one motivator is a positive work environment. And that's where Real Recognition Radio comes in. Join your hosts, Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown, as they take a look at the positive factors of the workplace, such as employee rewards, recognition, incentives, and much more. Tune in to Real Recognition Radio. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I am your host, Kimberly Stewart. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I do want to encourage everyone to check out my social media, like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, connect with me on LinkedIn. And in those spaces, I am trying to make sure that you have a heads up of who is coming on my show. You have an opportunity to ask me questions or make comments that I can incorporate into the show as appropriate and as needed. So please check that out. You can go to my host page on Voice America Business Channel, or you can go to my website, www.steppingstone-llc.com. So I look forward to hearing from you. I am talking to Terry Jones, former president CEO of Wolf Trap, and he has been sharing lots of stories about his photography, about the commission work he started at Wolf Trap and is consulting with on Face of America. And, you know, Terry, Wolf Trap is much more than just a summer festival that a lot of people around the area in the Washington, D.C. area think of Wolf Trap, but it has many more programs that, for those who know it nationally, probably recognize more of the opera programs and the early childhood education programs, uniting STEMs and the arts. How do the arts support science, technology, engineering, and mathematics learning? And that stands for STEM, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics is the STEM program.
Well, as you know, Kim, that's a very big subject, a huge subject. We could probably talk the rest of today and all of tomorrow about that. In fact, at some point, you might want to have Akua Kuyate, who's the director of education at Wolf Trap, do one of your shows because she'd do a fabulous job of of going into that. But the short answer is this. Research shows that the arts support crucial developmental skills in creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, and communication. And, of course, all those elements those are elements that are needed in science and technology. It's part of the basic premise for learning and understanding science and technology. And further, we know that to be successful in this aspect, in this STEM learning process, children really need to be exposed to these elements at a very early age. And of course, that's Wolf Trap's sweet spot. The Wolf Trap Institute for Early Learning Through the Arts is exactly there and have been doing that for more than 30 years. I mean, we really were one of the first to do early childhood education through the arts. And so bringing the STEM programs to the early childhood classroom, that's the 3 to 5 year olds, and we're doing this all across the country, not just in the D.C. area, really is critical to furthering what is an important part of advancing STEM learning in this country in order to advance progress in this country through business and technology and science and so forth.
Yeah, and it is a wonderful program, and I have had the fortune of, you know, watching some of the children going through the program. You know, it's a snippet, and, you know, one day going in and watching it, and it is just amazing. You know, the looks and the experience and their faces of, you know, how they take it in and how they are enjoying it so much and making learning fun. So I encourage anyone to explore that more. And if you have young children and can get them into a program such as this, it's a fantastic way. And it is just amazing from my perspective to see and actually see the learning, learning happening. You know, so, you know, we talk about how important it is. What is the business case for more investment, you know, whether it's from the private or public sector in the arts, and how does it benefit businesses, the community, and the nation, really?
Well, I think this relates back to the idea of creativity. You know, it's really clear these days that business leaders are demanding a workforce that has the ability to think creatively. And the arts teach us, whether it's by practice or by observation, to approach problems more creatively and to think outside the box. I mean, that's really what the arts are all about. And so by understanding the principles of art, we have a better approach to our business problems because we think creatively. We live, obviously, in a very fast, moving, fast-paced, creative economy where organizations increasingly define success as the ability to imagine things and visualize them before they exist. I mean, if you think about, you know, whether it's smartphones or apps or, you know, satellite, whatever it may be, I mean, somebody has to think of those, and you don't get there by thinking through old systems. And so if you have anything that can creatively spur your thinking to help you move ahead, to imagine things and visualize things, not that are here, but that may help us as a nation and in corporations. You know, Alan Greenspan, who I think has obviously spoken well on behalf of the making the business case, he once said, "The arts develop skills and habits of mind that are important for workers in the new economy of ideas." So I think if Alan Greenspan says that, I think we can believe that the arts play a critical role as we develop this new economy of ideas. So I think whether you're a corporate leader, a community leader, or a national leader, political leader, those important lessons that you can learn through the arts do in fact carry through and make you a success in your work.
Yes, absolutely. And I think I've shared this with you many times and many iterations. You know, when I take my children who are 9 and 12 in a week, you know, to Wolf Trap and sit on the lawn or sit in house and watch whatever the performance is. And as you know, Terry, they get the benefit of seeing a whole variety of genres for various reasons. And some of them, my husband and I don't plan, but the reactions I get no matter what is, I see their imaginations going and I see them thinking about, I can do that, or what if? And their creative minds are going just by watching the show. So putting it into a framework and a structure from the STEM programs or any other structured programs, and helping the children be creative, think out of the box, and realize that anything can be possible. You just have to think about it and be creative about it and imagine and dream, is just an amazing process to observe and watch and see, especially, you know, obviously as a parent, and, you know, I'm very proud of it, but, and seeing it in my children, but, anyone and seeing any child, you know, have the lights go on, I think is an amazing feature and amazing to watch.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think it's important for people to realize the arts are not fluff. They're not superfluous. They are an integral part of our lives and make us better people, better leaders, better business people. And you know, that's how we measure, that's one of the measures of success, you know, going forward with that. And so the arts are important as a part of our lives, of our daily lives.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about what you're doing now. What's next for you that you haven't mentioned to us yet, or have you thought beyond?
Well, I mean, as you know, I've you know, my whole life has been immersed in the arts, you know, I don't. You retire, but you don't step away from that. So I really hope to continue to lead what I call is a creative life, and I actually hope to help others do the same. And so, in doing that, I'll obviously be volunteer. You know, I may do occasional consulting as I'm doing for Wolf Trap right now, but probably more I will be involved in volunteer service. For example, I'm currently serving on the Creed Repertory Theater Board, which is a professional theater out of Colorado. I serve on the Washington West Film Festival Advisory Board. That's a film festival there in Northern Virginia in the Washington area. I also serve on the board of the National Parks Conservation Association. In fact, about to go to Zion National Park for one of their board meetings in a couple of weeks. So, you know, those kinds of things where I can lead a creative life and help others to discover and find that. And then of course, photography, which we've already spoken about. Yeah. Clearly, that will be part of my creative life. And, you know, I will do that. I always say that when you practice your art, whether it's photography or painting or writing or whatever it may be, you do it because you're compelled to do it, not because you'll publish or somebody will look at it and find it wonderful. Again, if they do, that's wonderful that that happens. But as an artist, you're compelled to create, and so that's where my photography comes in. And then finally, I might even do a little teaching. I spent a number of years as college professor in arts programs in Illinois and Iowa, and always enjoyed that. I enjoy working with young people, bright young people, and so who knows, that might be a little bit of my future as well.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And it is time for one final commercial break. So you're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I have Terry Jones on with me, and we will see you after this break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Save on your prescriptions with the RX Savings Plus drug discount card offered by Voice America. It is not insurance, and discounts are only available from participating pharmacies. But 9 out of 10 pharmacies participate nationwide. Start saving today. Print your free card online at voiceamerica.rxsavingsplus.com or text the word TALK RADIO to 96362.
Hi, I'm Joe Swedish, CEO of WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes and all they do to reduce the rate of premature birth in the United States. Though premature births have recently declined, still 500,000 babies are born too soon each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs that help moms and their babies live healthier lives. Please visit marchofdimes.com and join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. We are talking, having a conversation with Terry Jones, and we've been having a great time, you know, learning about his journey, learning about what he is doing currently and his future plans. You know, now let's look a little bit on, you know, who and what has made him who he is. You know, Terry, who are some of your favorite artists in the various mediums? And you can pick what medium it is.
Okay. Well, actually, I love that question, because for years when I was at Wolf Trap, certainly at least in picking favorite musical artist, I really couldn't do that, because as soon as I, in an interview, I would name a musical artist, somebody else will have seen that. They'll come in and say, Terry, so I understand so-and-so is your favorite singer. I'm going, oh, dear. So I never did that. But now I can do that. That's one of the things. But I'm actually going to start. I love this question, because what you said was, various mediums, and I do think all art forms have influenced me. I was immersed in the arts, and really. So I'm going to start with photography, which doesn't surprise you, I'm sure. No. Obviously, Ansel Adams is one. Everybody probably knows Ansel Adams, and he was one. A couple of they're not quite as well known, perhaps, to the general public. Neil Leifer, who was a photojournalist, he did a lot of work in Time Magazine, Life Magazine, a lot of sports. Shooting, he was amazing. Sam Abel, one of the great National Geographic photographers. I've met Sam and talked to him and worked with him, and he's just amazing. In visual art, I would say Thomas Hart Benton. Again, not a name that maybe everybody knows. He was a muralist. He was from Missouri, and what struck me was when I was a young child, probably 7, 8, 9, I saw Thomas Hart Benton painting the mural in the Harry Truman Library in Independence, Missouri, and that had a huge impact on my life. And literature, John Steinbeck, of course, had a huge influence on me. Billy Collins, the contemporary poet. I probably would throw Dylan Thomas in there because I share his Welsh heritage. Theater, for me, it was Richard Burton. I thought he was a consummate actor. Dance, Rudolf Nureyev. I saw Nureyev dance late in his career, really, in London, and was just blown away with the emotion he could communicate with that. Humor, I think humor is a form of art or an art medium. And for me, Billy Crystal, Bill Cosby, mm-hmm. and one other name, again, you may not be as familiar with, you probably know his work, Patrick Oliphant. He's a political cartoonist, actually a good friend of mine. He's also a very talented sculptor, but in humor, those are the ones that stick out. And then we come to music, which is the one everybody thinks, well, Terry's going to have, you know, the final ultimate, and it's impossible to narrow it to one or two. So here's a quick list of some of my favorites and people who've influenced me. Stephen Sondheim, mm-hmm. Leonard Bernstein, Marvin Hamlisch. Dear Marvin, we just lost way too early, and he served on the board at Wolf Trap, just a dear, dear friend. Tony Bennett, very influential. Miles Davis, B.B. King, Diana Krall, Leonard Cohen, Bonnie Raitt, and then Train. Something that's fairly contemporary, but I love Train. Yep. And then, of course, there's Mozart. How could I forget and not have Mozart in there?
So you named a lot of the musical artists who have been on Wolf Trap. So I'm going to put you in the spot and see how you react to this. Is there a famous or a favorite performance that you had, or you can name a couple of your top performances that you had at Wolf Trap while you were serving.
Well, again, you know, we could talk all day about the great times of Wolf Trap and the magical experiences, but I will narrow it to just one, and it was the opening night performance of River Dance, and it was magical because, I mean, it was so new and fresh when we first did that. It was hugely successful, you know, sold out a two-week run of it in 15 minutes or something the first time we had it there. But I tell you, that opening night when the curtain comes up and those dancers are there, the first time you get all those dancers on stage, and if I'm not mistaken, I think we had a full moon rising up over the stage at Wolf Trap, over the stage house at Wolf Trap, and it really was truly magical. I mean, it was one of those things. I presented a lot of arts. I've been doing this for 40-some years, and it just is one of those moments where you go, this is why I do this. It's just a piece of magic right now. The audience, of course, went wild, and so, you know, again, I can say those things now that I don't have to be political.
Well, and that's why I decided to put you on the spot with that one. So
it was a magical
Well, thank
night.
You. So, you know, we talked about some of your favorite artists. You know, who are some of the people that have influenced you the most?
Well, certainly many of those artists did, but first and foremost, my dad influenced me the most, I think. He taught me discipline and perseverance. I think I already mentioned he was a Marine, so not surprising, discipline and perseverance were among key traits. But what he did was he held that if you worked hard enough, you could do anything you wanted. And he believed that, and he believed in me, and he believed that I would succeed in whatever I chose to do. And that's back to when I made the decision to go in theater. I think he knew down deep that it was right and that I would succeed because I would work hard enough to succeed, to do it. And then after that, I think I already mentioned education was so important to me. There were a number of teachers, particularly beginning in junior high and high school, and then on through college, that had a great influence on me. Education as a whole just played an incredible, important role in my life, and largely because I had good teachers, and that's why I'm so committed to that. And then, of course, there were mentors early in my career, people like Bill Dawson, Howard Jones, who wasn't no relation, Dan Taylor. Those were all people that mentored me earlier in my career and did, you know, meant a lot to me.
Yep. So we're now at the point where there's a couple of questions that I ask every guest. You had, actually, the first one is, how do you define success, which you answered at the beginning. But the second one that we ask, and it's always been interesting, is what do you do when you have had a bad day? How do you get over it?
You know, when I have a bad day, or even in the midst of that day and things are difficult, what I try to do is breathe. I think it sounds simple. It sounds like, but you have to breathe or you won't live.
Right.
But this is a different kind of breathing. This is where you take deliberate breath and where you sort of go into yourself. I won't say it's Zen practice because I'm not that practiced at it. But I do make the effort to think about breathing deeply, and it does seem to help me through those challenging times. And then the other thing I do, if I'm able, is now at this point in life I'm very able, but is to go out and immerse myself in nature. I go out for a hike or a snowshoe or just some exercise. Exercise has always been very important to me about keeping things in perspective. And then I suppose the other thing I do is take out my camera and I go shoot, you know, some of the beauty that's around me. And obviously, again, here in Santa Fe, I've got beauty around me all the time. But what I found was, even during those hard times when I'd have a hard day at Wolf Trap, you know, if I take my camera out and find some piece of beauty, and you can find it anywhere. I mean, you can literally find beauty anywhere. And then capture that, then, you know, that seems to be a calming effect, at least for me.
Yep. So we only have a minute left, but can you quickly give us some practical advice that you can give others to help them be successful every day?
Yeah, I think it's back to be passionate about what you do. C- you need to care and care deeply about the mission of your organization or whatever it is you do. And if you believe in what you do, most things will follow from that passion. I recall once telling a college graduating class there were four keys to success. There were passion, vision, planning, and innovation. And not sure that any of those are entirely practical, but they did work for me. And finally, to be successful, you need to be kind to people, and you need to be good to yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to end the show on that note. Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. I've enjoyed
the conversation. So, and everyone, I hope that you all enjoyed the conversation as much as I did with Terry Jones, former president and CEO of Wolf Trap Foundation. And he's got lots of plans in the future and books and commissioned works and other things. So keep a lookout for him and hope that you have a very successful week. And we will see you next week on January 28th. See you next week.
Thanks again for joining us this week for Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Please join your host, Kimberly Stewart, again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. This week, take one more step to find your success.